Through a week, we'll be made strong in the Savior's blood. And through the storm, He is our Lord. He's still our Lord through all that we go through. Yeah. Father, Lord, we just praise Your name, Father God, because we have this truth, because we have this hope. Because, Father God, as we are in You, as we are in Christ, Father Lord, we are blessed, we are chosen, we are made in You. So, Father of God, would You take our worship today? Father Lord, would please Your ears, please Your sight. And Father God, our Holy Spirit, would You work in our hearts so that when the Word of God is preached by Pastor Paul, that it will hit powerfully, Father Lord, that it will hit, and Father Lord, it will change and transform our lives. So, all glory to Your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
It's called, can you read that?
I am adopted.
I am adopted, okay? I am adopted. I'll explain what that means. But I explained in the first week, Everything hinges on the first one. If I am in Christ, then I am. Right? If I am in Christ, if I have put my faith in Christ, if I believe in Jesus, what He's done in His life, His death on the cross, the truth that He came back to life, and that when I believe in Him, my sins are given to Him, the separation between me and God is gone. If I believe that, if I am in Christ, then I am new, I am blessed, I'm chosen, and this week we're talking about I am adopted. So we're going to open up our Bibles. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. This is our passage. You guys should like know exactly where it is now. This is where we've been turning for the last 4 weeks. Yeah, after Galatians, before Philippians. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1 all the way to verse 6. I think my voice is breaking. I'm going to puberty. Yeah. I can't laugh if my voice breaks. We're going to read this and then we're going to pray. Alright, we're just going to read this together. Has everyone got it? Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 1, and we're going to read all the way to verse 6.
Alright. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people, Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in His blessing in Christ, met Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise and of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves.
Amen. All right, we're going to pray right now. Would you close your eyes? We're going to pray for the offering we just gave. We're going to pray for the sermon as well. Would you pray before someone else prays? Can you pray for yourself and say, God, I am here, ready my heart. I want to hear from You, from Your Bible. Would You speak through Paul? That's me. And that Your word, the Bible, would be spoken. So can we pray that 10, 15 seconds? And then James Thompson will pray for us. So let's pray for ourselves first. And Father God, we just want to ask you that the Holy Spirit will come into us. That You will illuminate Your word. And that Your word will be preached faithfully and honoring to You. And God, that You will pierce our hearts. And we will have son and daughter and as you know the truth of the
Lord. Amen. 예배할 수 있게 하여 주시니 감사합니다. 우리가 입술을 열어서 하나님의 이름을 높여드릴 때 하나님께서 영광 받으시고 기뻐하시는 줄 압니다. 이 시간 우리가 각 사람이 여러 가지 마음으로 어떤 사람은 아픈 마음으로 어떤 사람은 두려운 마음으로 어떤 사람은 의심의 마음으로 이 자리에 나왔을지 모릅니다. 그렇지만 이 시간 우리가 다 마음을 모아서 하나님께 예배할 때 하나님께서 우리의 마음속에 한없는 평화와 기쁨을 허락하여 주실 줄을 믿습니다. 성령님께서 이 자리에 우리와 함께 하셔서 우리의 마음을 열어주시고 하나님의 말씀이 우리 앞에 선포될 때 우리가 그 말씀을 듣고 우리의 영의 양식으로 삶을 수 있게 하여 주시옵소서. 이 시간 우리가 작은 정성을 하나님께 올려드렸습니다. 우리가 가진 모든 것이 하나님께서 우리에게 주신 것인 줄 믿습니다. 하나님 아버지, 우리의 삶도 하나님께 늘 올려드리는 그러한 마음으로 살아갈 수 있도록 인도하여 주시고, 이 시간 말씀 전하시는 우리 오 강교사님께 성령께서 함께 하셔서 그의 입술을 통해서 하나님의 귀한 진리의 말씀을 전하게 하시고, 그 말씀을 듣는 우리가 그 말씀을 하나도 잊지 아니하고 그 말씀대로 순종하면서 살 수 있도록 축복하여 주시옵소서. 감사드리며 거룩하신 주 예수 그리스도의 이름으로 기도드렸습니다.
Amen. We're just going to watch a short clip. It's a trailer for a movie called Princess Diaries. Recently, Man of Steel, Superman. Anyone see anything Superman related? No? No one's been like, I don't really like Man of Steel. But this is what I think is the best part of Superman. The best part of Superman is when he realizes he's Superman. I don't know about you, that's my favorite part, when he's like a little kid and he thinks he's an ordinary boy. He thinks he's just an average boy. He thinks he's just like everyone else, but suddenly like he's trying to lift something and suddenly, he can lift it, or he's looking and then lasers shoot out of his eyes or something, but he realizes for the first time he's special. He's super ordinary. He's more than what he thought he was. He was always destined for something greater. And that's the same with Harry Potter. Right? We love Harry Potter. It's a story about this geeky, goofy guy with glasses that no one likes, and he lives under a cupboard and he's bullied. But Harry Potter was destined for something greater. Right? And that moment when Hagrid comes in and he says, "You're a wizard, Harry." And we're like, "Yeah! We love it!" Right? Because Harry isn't just an ordinary guy. We thought he was ordinary, but really, all the time, he was special. All the time, he was destined for something better. He was the boy who lived, and we love that. And I don't know about you, but I love these kind of stories, and these stories are very popular. There's so many movies like this, where there's someone who was always destined for something greater. We didn't know, but then they figured it out. There's a couple of more. Spider-Man's like that, right? He gets bitten by a spider, and suddenly he's really strong. What's some other ones? Twilight! Right, there's a girl who's just an ordinary girl. Alright, just calm down, guys. It's the story of a girl. She's just ordinary, kind of no one likes her. But suddenly, she moves to a new place and she's the center of attention, and the vampires like her, the werewolf likes her. And now this ordinary girl is the center of attention. Cinderella, peasant woman, turns into a princess. And this trailer we just saw, Princess Diaries, a girl who's just an ordinary girl, realizes she's really a princess. You know, the reason why these stories stir our heart is because there's something inside of us that makes us wish that was us. Right? I wish I was special. I wish I was destined for something better. Right? I wish I wasn't just average. I wish I was super ordinary. I wish I was special, like these guys in the movie. And what we see in this passage today is that you are special. God says you are destined for something great. And we don't know it when we're born, but when you realize who you are in Christ, you will realize that God has something special for you. In the story, the Princess Diaries, this girl is just an ordinary girl, but she meets her grandmother, and her grandmother's a queen, and that makes her the princess. And in a similar way, when we come to Christ, God says you are his son, you are his daughter, and because God is the King of Kings, that makes you a prince, and that makes you a princess. And we are special in that way. So let's read this passage, and I'll explain it a little bit to you. Ephesians 1, 4 to 6, at the end of 4, it says, "In love, He, God, predestined us, He chose you for adoption." So that's our thing. I am adopted. "For adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. That if I am in Christ, I have been adopted by God." Right? So the image that we have is that there's a room full of babies
who are orphans. Right? You guys know what an orphan is? Got no parents. Right? Either the parents have died or the parents have, you know, just left the kid. And there's a room full of orphans who are hopeless, lost. They have, you know, nothing going for them in their life. Their life sucks. But someone comes into that room and says, I choose you. You are going to be my son. Right? I choose you. You are going to be my daughter. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to protect you. Everything that I have, I'm going to give to you. You're going to be my son. You're going to be my daughter. And so when we read God adopted us, this is what happened. God comes into your life. He points at you and says, you are going to be my son. You are going to be my daughter. Right? Not that we give up our physical dad and say, oh, you're not my dad anymore. I've got a new dad. Not like that. But spiritually, God is my dad. He's my father. And he's going to watch over me. He's going to protect me. Everything that he has is mine. And he loves me. And we have that relationship with him. That's an amazing thing. You guys know this really famous couple, Brangelina? You guys know Brangelina? You know Brangelina? Do you guys know Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie? Yeah. You put them together, they become Brangelina. Did you know that? Okay. Brangelina, they're really famous for a lot of things. You know, Angelina Jolie is meant to be the most beautiful woman in the world. You know, that's what people call her. But they're famous for a lot of, you know, good reasons, some bad. But one of the great things that they've done, if you know, they've gone and adopted three kids. One from Cambodia, I think one from Africa, and one from, I'm not too sure. But they've adopted three kids. And when I look at that, I think that's such an amazing thing. And I look at those kids, and sometimes I'm like, man, they're so lucky. You know what it'd be like to be Brad Pitt's son? Or Angelina Jolie's daughter? They're so lucky. Right? You know, they went from being orphans, now they're living like mansions. They ride jets. They get whatever they want. People look at them and they treat them so nicely because they're the son and daughter of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Right? And they have so much power and influence simply because they're Brangelina's kids. And I don't know about you, I've looked at these kids and thought, man, I wish I was them. But I wish I was adopted like them because then I'd be in such a nice life. But I'd have so much. And the truth is that we are like that. That we're not maybe adopted by Brangelina, but we are adopted by God. And Brangelina, they're rich, but our God is richer. But he owns everything. He controls everything. Everything that you have in this world is God's. And that when I become his son and I become his daughter, everything that he has will either come to me when I get to heaven. He may bless me in this world, but I'm promised that when I get to heaven, I have an inheritance because I'm his son and his daughter. And Brangelina, they're powerful and people treat the kids with respect. But God is the God who is in control of everything. Right? If God is my father, I am hopeful that no matter what happens in life, that he is going to control everything and take care of me. I can come to God in prayer, knowing that he's going to hear me and he's going to do something about it. Right? So we look at these kids, we think they're lucky. But the truth is, if you are in Christ and if God is your father, we are lucky. Because we are adopted by God. This is an amazing truth. I don't know if you guys are living in this truth. Do you call God your father? Not just as a title, but can you come to God like you come to your father? With comfort, with joy. Nothing in between you and God. It's just like you're coming back to your dad. Is it that comfortable for you? You know, God didn't have to treat us this way. God could have taken care of your sin. He could have said, you're going to go to heaven. And he could have just left that relationship like that. He didn't have to become your father. You didn't have to become his child. He could have said, all right, you're going to heaven. I'm the principal and you're the student. So now everything I say, you got to do. He could have done it like that. He could have said, I'm the coach and you're the player, like in a team. And so I'm going to tell you to do this, tell you to do that, and you have to do that. Out of all the relationships God could have chosen to explain his relationship with you, he chose the most loving that we can think of. Between a parent and a child. And that's the kind of relationship we get to have with God. Are you living in that kind of relationship with God? Where you are comfortable with him, where he's like your dad, you get to run to him, pray to him, tell him what's going on in your life.
Right? He has predestined me, chosen me for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Our God is not a God who's far away. Have you guys ever thought God is far away from you? He's not. Fathers aren't far away. Fathers are close. They care about you. They want to know about you. That's the kind of God we have. He's not impersonal. He doesn't not care about you. He does care about what's going on in your life, and he can actually do something about it. Our God is a God who loves you, and his relationship with you brings him joy and pleasure. Are you living in that truth? When I say God is your father, some of us, we don't like it, because we don't like our fathers. Right? You might come from a family where your dad didn't treat you right. Maybe your dad was absent. Maybe your dad is not here anymore because he left your family. But our God is not a bigger version of your dad. Right? Sometimes we think, this is what my dad's like, and so God is just a bigger version. That's not how it works. God's not a reflection of my father. He's a perfection of my father. And so when you look at your dad and all the good things about your dad, we times that by 1,000, and all the bad things, we flip it upside down, make it a good thing, and times that by 1,000, and that's what our God is like to us. Right? He is the best father in the world. He is the perfect father. And when you understand how much God loves you, it will change the way you approach him. When you understand the Father's affection, his affection for you, it'll change the way you see his authority. But sometimes we think God is scary, he's big, he's powerful, and so we're kind of afraid to go to him. And that's kind of true. God is big, he is powerful. But at the same time, he loves you. At the same time, he cares for you. At the same time, he brought you out to be his son, to be his daughter, so he could watch over you. It's both. But some of us, we only tend to go to one, and it usually is, he's big, he's scary. It's like your dad is the president of the United States. Right? He's powerful. He's in a suit all the time. He's got security guards around him, and he clicks a finger, and they bring him food. He clicks a finger, they give him a massage. He presses a red button on his desk, and rockets fly out. Right? He's really powerful. But the son or the daughter of the president, can you imagine if the son or daughter went into the White House or went into his room and was like, oh, President of the United States, you know, was like really scared? The dad would be offended. You're my daughter. He'd want the daughter and son to be able to just run up. Doesn't matter if he's a president. You're my daughter. Want them to run up, wrap their arms around him and call him daddy. And that's the same with God. He is powerful. He is in control. And yet he wants you to call him father. He wants you to be able to run up to him in prayer. He wants you to be able to give him your heart, all your worries, all your joys. To have that kind of relationship. Do you have that kind of relationship, or are you caught up thinking that God is just big and you're afraid of him? God wants you to come to him. Jesus says in Matthew 6:9, this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. Right? We see both. He's big, heaven, but his Father. Right? His authority, but his affection. Right? Heaven and our Father. You know, when Jesus came into the earth and he said, hey, pray our Father in heaven, people back at that time got really angry. Because they were like, how dare you call God Father? He's so big, we call him God. You know, back then they didn't even say the name God. They had, what was written down in their Bibles was Yahweh, but they were so scared to say that word that they would call him something else, like Jehovah or Adonai. And they would skip saying it because his word name is so mighty and precious. And so here comes Jesus and he says, God's my Father. And they're like, how dare you? But that's the joy that we get to have in Christ. This mighty God is now my Father. And so when you guys pray, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be like, you know, oh, holy art thou, O heavenly Father, who stands in the mightiest heavens. And, you know, we don't have to be like that. We can just say, hey, God, Father, I'm going through a really tough time. I need some help. Father, this is what my worry is, and my parents are going through this, and I don't know the answer. And I'm really stressed, and I'm really emotional about this thing. God, would you help me?
That's the kind of way we can pray to God.
I don't know any other religion that says this, except Christianity. I don't know any other religion that says God is your Father. Right? Most religions say God is high. God, you can't get to. God is too powerful. Right? But our religion says He is powerful and yet He is my Father. The second thing I want you to know, the number one is that God is powerful but He's my Father. The second thing is, if God is our Father, we're family. We're family. Right? The Bible, when Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about fellow Christians, like in a church, he'll say brothers and sisters in the faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ. That means you're my brother. And I'm your brother, and you're my sister. Right? In Christ. In faith. And that means we should treat each other like brothers and sisters. Maybe not the way you guys treat your brothers and sisters. I don't know how you treat your brothers and sisters. Later on, when you kind of get a bit older, you treat your brothers and sisters really well. Okay? I don't know if you like your brother and sister, but we should treat them with love and respect. So everyone here, we are stuck with each other. If you are in Christ, if you're a believer, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together on earth and in heaven for all of eternity. So we should be nice to each other. Right? You're stuck with me for a long time in heaven, and I'm stuck with you forever in heaven for all of our lives. So we should be nice to each other. The person next to you is a brother from another mother and a sister from another mister. We are brothers and sisters, right, in Christ. We should treat each other like family. We don't bag each other out. We don't accuse each other. We're not mean to each other. Not in the church, because we are family. And in family, we love, we serve, we bless, we treat each other well. That's what it means to be a family. As I close up, I just want to say this. Your family relationship might be bad at home. Maybe some of us come from broken homes. Maybe your dad's not there. Maybe your mom's not there. Maybe someone left you. Maybe they divorced. Maybe they're divorcing. Maybe they're divorced and remarried. And that might confuse you a little bit. Your worth and your value does not come from that situation. But what can happen is sometimes because my family or my parents are a little not healthy, that we think it's something to do with us. Maybe my value, or maybe something's wrong with me, or maybe they divorced because of me. But that has nothing to do with you. That can explain you. It doesn't define you. And that's what Pastor Mark Driscoll says. These things explain you. They don't define you. They don't make you who you are. You might not have a dad at home, but you have one now. He's God the Father. You might not have a healthy family at home. You have one now. It's called the church. Right? In Christ, we have a Father. In Christ, we are loved sons and daughters. You will receive an inheritance from God. Do you believe that? Do you live in His truth? I am adopted. I am not a mistake. You are adopted by God. You are not a mistake. And so I want us to close our eyes. And I want us to pray to this Father. You know, this Father who is in control of all things. And yet, He wants you to be able to freely come to Him in prayer. He wants you to be able to comfortably approach Him. If you are in Christ, there's no reason that we cannot come to God anytime, anywhere, and know that He will be waiting for us. He wants to hear from us. He'll never be like, hey, not now, I'm too busy. Now's not a good time. We come back later. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's the Father who loves you. Now, I don't think I understand this fully, and maybe you guys don't because you guys aren't parents. I think some of our teachers understand it better. The love of a parent for a kid is amazing. The amount that parents sacrifice for you, your parents sacrifice so much for you, you have no idea. They love you so much, sometimes we don't understand. But God the Father's love is infinitely more than that. It's an amazing thing that God would care about you and bring you into His family. And so I want you to come to God in prayer and say, God, here I am, your son, your daughter. And comfortably, just tell Him what's going on in your life. Comfortably, if you have any stresses or worries or problems, just tell Him, knowing that He's hearing and knowing that He's powerful to do something. If something's good going in your life, just pray and say, God, thank you. Because this is happening in my life and it's amazing. And I know that you are the one who gives me all these good things in my life. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, we can come to God freely because He's our Father and we are His sons and daughters. So let's pray each one. Your throne freely. We can pray whenever we want, comfortably, that we are your sons, we are your daughters, and you are a God who is in control. You are a God who loves us. You are a God who protects us, watches over us. You are for us. You are affectionate toward us. Help us to live in this truth. Help us to be set free in this truth. Father, we thank you so much. We love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.